We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 782 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. It is the first day of the NFL's new league year. The 2024-2025 new league year starts on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Happy New Year! The new league year. It is when the signings of free agents from other teams can become official and when trades can become official. The Commanders on Tuesday morning actually made a free agent signing official. They officially announced the signing of unrestricted free agent tight end Zach Ertz. They could do that because Ertz was what is called a street free agent. He was not with another team. He wasn't living on the street, at least as far as we know, but he was what is known as a street free agent. So the team signing of Ertz is official. Presumably, a bunch more of the teams reportedly agreed upon signings over the first 2 days of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period are about to become official. And oh yeah, there was plenty more happening with our team on Tuesday. What was a day two of the legal tampering period off a really busy day one. The Commanders on Monday from the early afternoon until late into the night reportedly agreed on contracts with six unrestricted free agents. The Commanders on Tuesday reportedly agreed on contracts with five unrestricted free agents. These latest free agent acquisitions for the Commanders: quarterback Marcus Mariota, edge defenders Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler Jr., safety Jeremy Chinn, and long snapper Tyler Ott. Yes, we have another new long snapper. So if you're keeping track, the Commanders over the first 2 days of the 2024 legal tampering period reportedly agreed on contracts with 11 unrestricted free agents, and the team last week agreed on the contract with Zach Ertz. 12 new players for our team via free agency over the last week, and the team has not re-signed any of its many significant free agents. My friends, we are in the midst of a massive roster overhaul being orchestrated by Commanders General Manager Adam Peters. Hello and welcome to this Wednesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Coming up on the show, reaction to and analysis of what the Commanders did on Tuesday. Next segment, I'll discuss them getting Marcus Mariota. What might this indicate regarding what the team is going to do with its number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft? What does Mariota mean for quarterback Sam Howell? I then will assess the Commanders getting two more edge defenders in Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler Jr. This off on Monday afternoon, reportedly agreeing on a contract with unrestricted free agent edge defender Dorrance Armstrong Jr. I then will explain how Jeremy Chinn just might be the steal of this ultra-deep Commanders free agent class, and then we'll take you through the best of what Zach Ertz said during his introductory press conference on Tuesday afternoon. He is a big fan of Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, with whom Ertz has history. A lot of Commanders conversation on the show, as no podcast or show covers the Commanders like this podcast does. Key sound, analytics, scheduled fun, you name it, we do it. Also on the show, I'll talk Wizards. They're oh so modest, but also regular season best tying two-game winning streak ended on Tuesday night, a 109-97 loss at the Memphis Grizzlies. By the way, Sadiq Charles now is gone. What has been a slow-moving free agent market for Commanders unrestricted free agents did give us some news late night on Tuesday night. Multiple reports that offensive lineman Sadiq Charles has agreed on a one-year contract with the Tennessee Titans. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. I, on the podcast in Talking College Basketball, had discussed whether the Mid-Atlantic region might not have any teams in this year's NCAA tournament. Now, James Madison is going to the NCAA tournament. The Dukes earned an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament with their 91-71 round of Arkansas State in Pensacola, Florida, in the Sun Belt Conference tournament final on Monday evening. But I got this from BT on X, writes BT. Listening to the pod, Longwood, another Virginia school that is dancing. Thank you for that, BT. So it's tricky and honestly somewhat arbitrary what we consider to be the college basketball teams of the Washington, D.C. area. The Longwood University Lancers, they won the Big South tournament with an 85-59 blowout of UNC Asheville in High Point, North Carolina this past Sunday afternoon. Longwood University is in Farmville, Virginia. Longwood University is hours away from the immediate D.C. area, but you know what? So are James Madison and Virginia Tech, and yet we include all of those schools as Washington, D.C. area teams. Now, I use the phrase Mid-Atlantic region. I looked this up. Do you know that the actual definition of Mid-Atlantic region does not include Virginia? The actual definition of Mid-Atlantic region is the states of Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, and the District of Columbia. But the Mid-Atlantic region technically does not include Virginia. I did not know that. I assumed that the Mid-Atlantic region did include Virginia. I mean, MASN, Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, is available in Virginia. But technically, the Mid-Atlantic region does not include Virginia. But to BT's point, yeah, if we're going to include James Madison and Virginia Tech as Washington, D.C. area teams, then we should include Longwood, at least when it comes to talking about area teams making or not making the NCAA tournament. Multiple emails on the notion of the Commanders trading down in the first round of the 2024 draft, and on the suggestion from an email from Taylor on last Friday's show, episode 779, that I invite songs from DC area bands slash artists to serve as the intro music for this podcast for at least some of the time. Email from Gene in Manassas, Virginia, writes Gene, you already inform us so well of local sports. If you also start informing us of local music by going with the idea of one day of music from upcoming bands, I might become a hipster. My wife would like that for a change. Speaking of becoming better, I think that an indication against the Commanders trading down in the first round is that Josh Harris quote to the effect that it is quick to become mediocre, but slower to become great. If, in fact, the top three quarterbacks are a level above the others, then the Commanders can't pass. They don't have to fill all of their holes this year. They have next year's draft as well. We can go with the young guys and have another losing season. You can also afford to let a project like Drake May develop. So I don't think that the Commanders should trade down unless the second through sixth quarterbacks are equivalent on the team's board. Thank you for the email, Gene. I do very much agree from the standpoint of how the Commanders evaluate the quarterbacks in the 2024 draft should dictate whether the team trades down in the first round. Email from Andy Wagner for a conversation with Sam Monson, the lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. Sam was on Friday's show, episode 779. Writes Andy, I enjoyed listening to Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. What's your opinion? Do we have to take a quarterback at two? I keep hearing and reading the experts talk about how we can't come away from this draft without a quarterback at two, and that we only get so many opportunities to draft this high. But when I look at recent drafts and see Zach Wilson, a 2, Trey Lance, a 3, Justin Fields, an 11, and Mac Jones, a 15, taken in the first round in 2021, and then Kenny Pickett, a 16, as the only quarterback taken in the first round of the 2022 draft, it would seem that a lot can go wrong when you force an early pick on a quarterback. If the scouts and management for Washington don't love Drake May or Jaden Daniels, I'm fine with trading down. We definitely need to rebuild the roster. I understand that quarterback is the most important position on the field and that without a good quarterback, it's hard to win, but I don't want to force the pick. Am I missing something? Love the podcast and the music slash intro. Thank you for that, Andy. It is such a cruel situation, isn't it? No position in the NFL matters more than quarterback. The best way to get a great quarterback is with a first-round pick in an NFL draft, and yet so many first-round quarterbacks do not work out. I mean, Marcus Mariota. How did Marcus Mariota come into the NFL? The Tennessee Titans took him with the number 2 overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft. Mariota is a bust of a number 2 overall pick, and now our team is signing him for very little money. This as our team has the number 2 overall pick in this year's NFL draft. There's a certain irony slash poetry slash deeper meaning with all of this. What the Commanders should do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 draft comes down to how Adam Peters evaluates the quarterbacks in the draft. Assuming that the Chicago Bears are taking USC quarterback Caleb Williams with their number 1 overall pick in the draft, Adam Peters has to answer two questions. A, does he really like at least one quarterback beyond Caleb Williams in this draft? And maybe Peters doesn't like Williams, but we're going off the assumption that the Bears are taking Williams. B, if Peters does really like at least one quarterback beyond Caleb Williams in this draft, then can Peters trade down and get that quarterback, or should Peters just stay at 2 and take that quarterback? But quarterback should be the North Star, should be the guiding light for our team in this draft. Nothing matters more than quarterback for the Commanders regarding the 2024 draft. And nothing matters more than how you and those who you care about are doing. And if you have been harmed by the negligence of someone else, or if someone who you care about has been harmed by the negligence of someone else, always know that the great law firm of Paulson and Nace is there for you. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Call 202-902-7611, and when you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson and Nace has won millions of dollars for clients and was just named as part of U.S. News and World Report's Best Law Firms 2024 edition. Paulson and Nace is a Washington, D.C.-based family law firm that handles medical malpractice, personal injury, birth injury, legal malpractice, and consumer protection cases, offering aggressive advocacy for victims in Washington, D.C. and West Virginia. Paulson and Nace fights for victims of all kinds of situations, including victims of errors made during diagnosis, during surgery, or with medication, victims of injuries caused by dangerous medications or medical devices, as well as defective auto parts, victims of accidents involving cars, trucks, bikes, or motorcycles, victims of deceptive trade practices and false advertising, heck, victims of shady lawyers. If your attorney acts in bad faith, is unethical, unethical in his or her counsel or is negligent in his or her work, you could have a claim for legal malpractice. Paulson & Nace has represented corporate clients throughout the region. Attorneys Chris Nace and Matt Nace are experienced trial attorneys who are not afraid to take cases to trials. And that's because Paulson & Nace wins trials. If you feel that you've been wronged, if you think that you've been wronged, but aren't sure, call Paulson & Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Call 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. And when you call, tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. You could also visit paulsonandnace.com. That's paulsonandnace.com. Don't forget to tell Paulson & Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Paulson & Nace, if you have a case, contact Paulson & Nace. If you are listening to this podcast via Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can rate the podcast with a star rating. 5-star ratings are greatly appreciated. They help us out a lot. Thank you for doing them. The last 2 days with the Commanders in the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period have been chaotic. So much happening, so much to keep track of. If you are a Commanders fan and have been following what has been going on, this has been exciting. I mean, it has been like one free agent acquisition after another. Something that was perhaps lost in the shuffle on Monday was that the Commanders reportedly were in on a quarterback. They reportedly were in on unrestricted free agent quarterback Sam Darnold, who we learned via multiple reports in the overnight hours of Monday into Tuesday, had agreed on a contract with the Minnesota Vikings. That the Commanders were in on Darnold obviously meant that the Commanders wanted, or at least were open to, a veteran quarterback. And sure enough, we on Tuesday morning had multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed on a contract with unrestricted free agent quarterback Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota, he actually came up as a potential target of Washington in the 2021 offseason. And now here we are in the 2024 offseason, and the team is signing him. He's reportedly getting a one-year $6 million deal with a maximum value of $10 million. So to be clear, this is a backup quarterback contract. Doesn't mean that he can't or won't start games for the Commanders, but that is backup quarterback money. Mariota spent the 2023 season with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Commanders' new assistant head coach slash offensive pass game coordinator, Brian Johnson, was an offensive assistant for the Eagles from January 2021 to this past January, including being the Eagles' offensive coordinator from February 2023 to this past January. So Mariota and Johnson were together with the Eagles this past season. Marcus Mariota has become a journeyman. As I mentioned during the opening segment of the show, the Tennessee Titans took Mariota with the number 2 overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft. He was with the Titans for 5 seasons, 2015 through 2019. He then was with the Las Vegas Raiders for 2 seasons, 2020 and 2021. The Commanders are Mariota's 4th team in 4 seasons. Raiders for the 2021 season, Atlanta Falcons for the 2022 season, Eagles for the 2023 season, and Commanders for the 2024 season, which will be Mariota's age 31 season. I want to address 2 conclusions that people jump to off the Commanders agreeing on a contract with Marcus Mariota. One conclusion is that them signing him means that they're leaning toward taking LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels with the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft, because Mariota, like Daniels, is very mobile. And the idea is to have a QB2 who is like the QB1. Look, it may be that general manager Adam Peters wants to take Jaden Daniels with that number 2 overall pick. There is a lot to like about Jaden Daniels, but specific to the Commanders signing Mariota, I don't see that as saying anything about which quarterback the Commanders are wanting in the 2024 draft. First of all, while yes, Jaden Daniels is mobile, So is North Carolina quarterback Drake May. Is May as mobile as Daniels? No, but May is mobile, more mobile than he gets credit for. Second of all, the Commanders reportedly were in on Sam Darnold, who is not very mobile. So what if they were signing Darnold instead of Marcus Mariota? Would that mean that the team isn't leaning toward Jaden Daniels? Like, if you think that the Commanders signing Mariota means that they want Daniels, then how do you explain them being in on Darnold and perhaps even having wanted Darnold more than they want Mariota? Third of all, it doesn't have to be that the QB2 is exactly like the QB1. Certainly plenty of teams want that, but that isn't always the case. So I would not take the Commanders signing Marcus Mariota as meaning anything regarding which quarterback the team wants in the 2024 draft. A second conclusion that people jump to off the Commanders agreeing on a contract with Marcus Mariota is that this means that the team is trading quarterback Sam Howell. And to that I say, yeah, that may be right. I don't know how you view the Commanders signing Mariota as not being an indictment to at least some extent of how the team feels about Sam. Personally, I don't want the Commanders to be in a rush to trade Sam, and maybe they aren't looking to trade Sam, but Sam Howell has talent. He's super affordable given that he has 2 seasons left on his rookie contract as a 5th-round pick in the 2022 draft, and there still is upside with Sam. The Commanders can and should continue to work with Sam and develop Sam, and perhaps he becomes a really good number 2 quarterback. Heck, perhaps he ends up being the Commanders' QB1 once again. You know, the history of our team is filled with quarterback scenarios that were supposed to go one way but ended up going another way. See Jay Schrader and Doug Williams. See Heath Shuler and Gus Frerotte. See Robert Griffin III and you know who. See Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke. How many times in Washington history has a quarterback scenario been set up to go one way but ended up going another way? So I would not count Sam Howell out. Not at all. But it's hard to believe that Marcus Mariota is coming to the Commanders to be their QB3. He almost certainly is coming to the team to at least be its QB2, maybe even QB1 to start the season. And so if Adam Peters and head coach Dan Quinn and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury are viewing Sam Howell as the QB3, well, then that would mean that the team is open to trading him. We, on episode 770 of this podcast, had Pro Football Focus salary cap analyst Brad Spielberger as a guest, and he said that the Commanders could get a 4th-round pick for Sam, maybe even a 3rd-round pick for Sam. But the New England Patriots reportedly are trading quarterback Mac Jones to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a 2024 6th-round pick. Now, you can say that, hey, Sam is cheaper than Mac. Sam is under contract for longer than Mac is, and Sam has more upside than Mac does. So maybe Sam actually could command more on the trade market than Mac has commanded. But Mac Jones going for a 6th-round pick does not make you feel great about the likelihood of the Commanders getting a 4th-round pick for Sam Howell, let alone a 3rd. I also think that there's something to be said for a team having 3 quarterbacks with whom the team can win, not just 2. I would not have a problem with a Commanders quarterback room for the 2024 season of the draft pick, Marcus Mariota, and Sam Howell. I actually think that such a quarterback room would make sense. But to me, until the Commanders truly have quarterback figured out, they should be retaining and developing as many young quarterbacks with upside as possible. And as much as Sam Howell's 2023 season ended up unraveling, I do believe that he has upside. Now, he shouldn't be the Commanders' QB1, okay? But he shouldn't just be discarded either. The first free agent acquisition that we, via multiple reports, learned of for the Commanders on Tuesday, what was day 2 of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period, was an edge defender Unrestricted free agent edge defender Cleland Farrell. We on Tuesday morning had multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed with Farrell on a one-year deal. So at least as things stand right now, the Commanders' new starting edge defender duo would appear to be Farrell and Dorrance Armstrong Jr., who we on Monday morning, on day one of this legal tampering period, learned that the Commanders are signing as an unrestricted free agent. But things can change, and I don't think that it's like a slam dunk that Cleland Farrell will be a Commander starting edge defender in the 2024 season. That will be his age of 27 season. Farrell has been durable. He, over the 2021 through 2023 seasons, played in 49 of a possible 51 regular season games, but he also has never lived up to where he was drafted. The Oakland Raiders took Farrell with the number 4 overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft out of Clemson. But he, over his 4 seasons with the Raiders, 2019 through 2022, did not do much. The Raiders in April 2022 declined the 5th-year option in his rookie contract, and he in March 2023 signed a 1-year contract with the San Francisco 49ers as an unrestricted free agent. Now, Farrell did have an encouraging 2023 season. He, in the 2023 regular season, started all 17 games for a Niners team that finished number 4 in the NFL in total defense per DVOA, and he started over edge defender Chase Young after the Niners acquired Young via trade with the Commanders this past Halloween, which was 2023 NFL trade deadline day. So Farrell last season was a starter for a very good defense, and even after it added a notable player at Farrell's position. However, Farrell in the 2023 regular season did only play on 43.13% of the Niners' defensive snaps. So he, even as a starter, was a part-time player. Cleland Farrell is a guy who the Commanders' new football operations regime knows. The Commanders' general manager, Adam Peters, was a Niners executive for 7 years, including being the Niners' assistant general manager when they signed Farrell as an unrestricted free agent in March 2023. And the Commanders' new defensive line coach, Daryl Tapp, he was the Niners' assistant defensive line coach for Farrell's 2023 season with the Niners. Tapp was the Niners' assistant defensive line coach for the 2021 through 2023 seasons. So Tuesday morning reports that the Commanders are signing Cleland Farrell. Tuesday afternoon, multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed on a contract with unrestricted free agent edge defender Dante Fowler Jr., who, like Dorrance Armstrong Jr., comes from the Dallas Cowboys. Dante Fowler Jr. is a Dan Quinn guy. Fowler played for the Atlanta Falcons for the 2020 and 2021 seasons and for the Cowboys for the 2022 and 2023 seasons. Commanders head coach Dan Quinn's final season as Falcons head coach was the 2020 season, and the 2022 and 2023 seasons were his final 2 seasons as Cowboys defensive coordinator. Also, Fowler played for the University of Florida for the 2012 through 2014 seasons. Quinn was Florida's defensive coordinator and defensive line coach for the 2011 and 2012 seasons. So Fowler and Quinn have been together at Florida, with the Falcons, with the Cowboys, and now with the Commanders. Fowler and Quinn like each other a good bit. Fowler was a contributor on 2 very good Cowboys defenses. Fowler in the 2022 regular season played in all 17 of the Cowboys games, though he had no starts and played on just 29.9% of the Cowboys' defensive snaps. But the Cowboys for the 2022 regular season were number 4 in the NFL in total defense per DVOA. Fowler in the 2023 regular season played in all 17 of the Cowboys' games, though he had no starts and played on just 25.23% of the Cowboys' defensive snaps. But the Cowboys for the 2023 regular season were number 5 in the NFL in total defense per DVOA. So Dante Fowler Jr. in recent seasons, like Cleland Farrell and like Dorrance Armstrong Jr., has been a part-time player, but a part-time player on some very good defenses. What's also true about Fowler is that he has become a journeyman. The Jacksonville Jaguars took Fowler with the number 3 overall pick in the 2015 NFL draft out of Florida. He has never truly lived up to where he was drafted, and the Commanders are his 5th NFL team. The Jaguars, the Los Angeles Rams, the Falcons, the Cowboys, And the Commanders of the 2024 season will be Fowler's age 30 season. It would appear that the Commanders are attacking their glaring hole, and it was a glaring hole at edge defender, with quantity. Armstrong, Farrell, Fowler. The team also has 2023 draft picks KJ Henry and Andre Jones Jr. Perhaps the team will draft an edge defender or two or more. But here's something that I wonder about. If Adam Peters had been running Commanders football operations when the team traded edge defender Montez Sweat this past October 31st, would Peters have traded Sweat? Would Adam Peters have done the Montez Sweat trade? Put aside Chase Young, for whom the sparkle clearly is off. What about Sweat? The Commanders traded Sweat to the Chicago Bears for a second-round pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, what is the number 40 overall pick in that draft. Would the Commanders be better off not having that number 40 overall pick, not signing Cleveland Farrell, but still having Montez Sweat, and also be paying Sweat a lot of money in order to retain him? Remember, he was said to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. Or are the Commanders better off not having Montez Sweat, not paying him big money, having that number 40 overall pick in the 2024 draft, and signing a Cleveland Farrell? Sweat's a better player than Farrell is, that's obvious. The question is Sweat worthy of big money, and what will the Commanders do with that number 40 overall pick in the 2024 draft? The Bears, this past November 5th, less than a week after acquiring Sweat, announced that they had signed him to a four-year contract extension. The extension for Pro Football Talk includes $41.965 million fully guaranteed at signing. Also, a 2025 base salary of $20.9 million guaranteed for injury at signing, and fully guaranteed on the third day of the 2024 league year. Well, the third day of the 2024 league year is just days away. I don't anticipate the Bears cutting Montez Sweat, so his contract extension, in essence, has $62.865 million fully guaranteed. That's big money. But if he's really good, as he was for the Bears this past season, then he's worth that money. If Adam Peters had been running Commanders football operations when the team traded Montez Sweat this past Halloween, would Peters have traded Sweat? I'd love to know the answer to that question. I'm still fine with the Commanders having traded Sweat because I really like that value, getting a second round pick for him. But what does Adam Peters think? Well, what we think about what is the best catering service in the DMV is that the best catering service is Catering by Uptown. And Catering by Uptown, through the end of March, is offering a special deal for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. If you're planning a wedding, you want great service, but you also want a great price. Catering by Uptown provides both. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. Catering by Uptown also can help you if you're planning a party or a corporate event. Catering by Uptown is a family business. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Whether you are planning a wedding, a birthday, anniversary, or retirement celebration, a charity gala, whatever, put Catering by Uptown to work for you. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu to picking linens to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. And don't forget about the great offer for listeners of the Al Galdi podcast. Newly engaged couples can get 5% off any Catering by Uptown wedding package. Just visit cateringbyuptown.com, set up your own personal tour of one of Catering by Uptown's premier waterfront venues, and mention that Al Galdi sent you to get the discount. That's cateringbyuptown.com, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, it was now two Tuesday afternoons ago, March 5th, that Commander Safety Cameron Curl on X posted an emoji of a hand putting up two fingers, as in the peace sign, as in peace, I'm outta here, when I hit unrestricted free agency the following week. Well, the likelihood of Cam being gone went up this past Tuesday afternoon, March 12th, as we on Tuesday afternoon, day two of the NFL's 2024 legal tampering period, had multiple reports that the Commanders had agreed on a contract with unrestricted free agent safety Jeremy Chinn. The contract reportedly is a one-year deal worth up to $5.1 million. I really like this signing. This signing has big-time upside and basically no risk. I mean, again, one-year contract worth up to just $5.1 million. The 2024 season will be Jeremy Chinn's age 26 season. He, over his first two NFL seasons, was really good. He was taken by the Carolina Panthers in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft out of Southern Illinois. Chinn, in the 2020 regular season, played in 15 of the Panthers' 16 games and was number two in the voting for Associated Press Defensive Rookie of the Year, an award that was won by then Washington edge defender Chase Young. But Chase finished number one in the voting. Jeremy Chinn finished number two in the voting. Chinn, in the 2021 regular season, played in 16 of the Panthers' 17 games and generated 41 defensive stops per Pro Football Focus, ranking number one among all qualified safeties. I'm a big fan of the defensive stop metric. A defensive stop is a tackle that makes the play a successful play for the defense. A successful play for the defense is defined by PFF as the offense on first down getting no more than 45% of the necessary yardage for a first down, the offense on second down getting no more than 60% of the necessary yardage for a first down, and the offense on third or fourth down not getting a first down. Not all tackles are created equal, right? So defensive stops are a much better thing to look at as compared to tackles when you're trying to figure out how good or how impactful a defensive player has been. The reason that Jeremy Chinn is only getting a one-year contract is that he has had a hard time staying healthy. And this is the concern with Chinn. He has not been durable. Chinn, in the 2022 regular season, played in just 11 of the Panthers' 17 games. Chinn, in the 2023 regular season, played in just 12 of the Panthers' 17 games. Chinn, over his four NFL regular seasons, has played in just 54 of 67 games. So he does need to stay healthy. But if he does stay healthy, he can play, and he's versatile. Chinn can play strong safety, free safety, nickel corner, and linebacker. So you take a step back. Chinn is coming to Washington from Carolina. And B, Chinn offers, position flex. You see, the influence of former Commanders head coach Ron Rivera still is being felt.
Position flex.
Yes, thank you, Ron. Position flex. Additionally, Jeremy Chinn's uncle is one of the best safeties ever. Legendary former Denver Broncos safety and Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Atwater. Jeremy Chinn is the nephew of Steve Atwater. It feels like Cam Curl is as good as gone. The Commanders at safety now have Jeremy Chinn, Derek Forrest, Quan Martin, and Percy Butler. And if Chinn stays healthy, and that's a big if, but if he stays healthy, the Commanders have a steal with this guy on a one-year contract worth up to just $5.1 million. If you enjoy Commanders Conversation, always really good Commanders Conversation at bgobsession.com. You can placate your burgundy and gold obsession at bgobsession.com. BG Obsession, or BGO, has been the home of the most knowledgeable, friendly, and passionate Washington fans on the web since 2009. BGO is a special place at which you can join your fellow fans for some smart football discussion, great contests, game day chats, and even lifelong friendships. So what are you waiting for? Visit and join BGO at bgobsession.com, home to your burgundy and gold obsession. Well, the Commanders on Tuesday morning officially announced the signing of unrestricted free agent tight end Zach Ertz. It was last Wednesday afternoon that we had multiple reports that the team had agreed on a contract with Ertz. The contract reportedly is a one-year deal worth up to just $5 million. The Commanders' signing of Ertz, their reported agreed on contract with unrestricted free agent running back Austin Eckler, a reported two-year deal worth a maximum of $11.43 million. These are short-term, low-money, low-risk, high-upside contracts for veteran skill position players who've had great success but who have fallen off. There's no guarantee that Zach Ertz even makes the Commanders' initial 53-man roster for the 2024 season. And if he does make that roster, there's no guarantee that he'll be active on game days. Keep this in mind. Ertz's last stop prior to the Commanders was on the Detroit Lions practice squad from this past January 22nd to this past February 5th. The 2024 season will be Ertz's age 34 season. He, in recent seasons, has missed a lot of time due to injury. Ertz, in the 2020 regular season, missed five games due to a high ankle sprain. Ertz, in November 2022, suffered a torn ACL and torn MCL. Ertz, in the 2023 regular season, missed five games due to a quadriceps injury. The Arizona Cardinals released Ertz via waivers this past November 30th in what was a mutual parting of the ways. But Zach Ertz has had a lot of success. For a six-season stretch, 2014 through 2019, this while with the Philadelphia Eagles, was one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And Ertz played for and was good for Commanders offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury during his time as Cardinals head coach. Kingsbury was the Cardinals head coach from January 2019 to January 2023. Ertz was on the Cardinals from October 2021 to November 2023. So Kingsbury and Ertz were together for one plus season, and Ertz with Kingsbury as head coach was productive. Ertz over 21 regular season games for the Cardinals with Kingsbury as head coach had 103 receptions for 980 yards and 7 touchdowns on 150 targets. Zach Ertz on Tuesday afternoon did an introductory press conference. Here he was on why he signed with the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a building that I've known from afar for a long time, kind of growing up in this division. But Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and Cliff Kingsbury are pretty much the main reasons that I'm here. These are guys that I truly believe are going to build long-term success at this place, and it was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. Obviously, I love playing for Cliff in Arizona. He's a guy that was one of the best offensive minds that I have been around up to date, and I still feel that way. So I'm extremely excited to get back into his offense and also just help this team, help this organization kind of build success from the ground up.
We heard Zach Ertz say that he loved playing for Cliff Kingsbury. Ertz on Tuesday afternoon on what he especially likes about Kingsbury's offense.
I mean, I think the job of any really good coach is to put the players in position to be successful. And no one does that better than Cliff, in my opinion. He wants to put his guys in positions to make a lot of plays, whether it be running the ball or throwing the ball and catching the ball. He's going to do everything he can to put his guys in positions to be successful. And he's one of the best I've been around in that regards. Obviously, it's very, very early in the process. So I can't wait to see what he does with these quarterbacks and I would say whoever else we bring in.
Yes, whoever else the Commanders bring in at quarterback, as in what they do with their number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Zach Ertz on Tuesday afternoon got asked if he had other teams with which he had offers. Here was his answer, and it includes him talking up the Commanders big time. Here you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there were a bunch of teams that were interested in signing me, not only once free agency started, but even going into last season when everything happened in Arizona. But I didn't want to jump into anything just to jump into something. I wanted to evaluate all the options and make the right decision, not only for myself, but for my family as well. Obviously, it's not just a decision for Julie and I anymore. We have an 18-month-year-old boy at home. And so the decisions are much bigger than myself. But at the same time, the reason I'm here is I believe in this place. I believe in the ownership. I believe in the head coach. I believe in the GM. I believe in the OC. I look at the skill group, and I think this is a group that can be extremely talented at a group that could be extremely hard to defend. And obviously I can give 1,000 different cliches about why I think we're going to be good. But at the end of the day, it comes down to putting work in on the field and on the practice field and getting better, because no player should be where they are today by the time the season starts or by the time when, as a team, as a player, you always want to be peaking at the right time and improving constantly. And I'm not a guy that is going to sit up here and say I'm a finished player. There's always something I can learn. There's always something I can get better at. So I'm excited about doing that.
So we heard Zach Ertz heap praise on the Commanders' collection of skill position players. How good is that collection? Specific to tight end, there are a lot of questions. The Commanders on March 1st released tight end Logan Thomas. They do have tight ends John Bates, Cole Turner, and Armani Rogers. Bates would seem to be just a guy. Washington took him in the 4th round of the 2021 NFL Draft out of Boise State. I don't know that there's much upside with Bates. Cole Turner does have upside, but he has been a big disappointment. Now, I know that he was taken in the 5th round of a draft, so it's not like this was some top 10 pick. The Commanders took him in the 5th round of the 2022 draft out of Nevada, but if you remember, there was a good bit of hype for Cole Turner, but he, over his 2 NFL seasons, has done very little, and he, for much of last season, was a game day inactive. Turner, even in a lost season for the team, was inactive for 5 of the team's last 10 games. Armani Rogers is the wild card. He, in the 2022 season, demonstrated promise as an undrafted free agent out of Ohio. He made the team's initial 53-man roster for the 2022 season, but he, this past May 23rd, what was the team's first day of OTA practices for the 2023 offseason, suffered an Achilles injury. He was placed on the reserve injured list this past July 25th, and he missed all of the 2023 season. And so there definitely is opportunity for Zach Ertz to be a factor for the Commanders in the 2024 season. Ertz on Tuesday afternoon on if he feels like he has something to prove.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always, I've never felt like, hey, I've made it. We won a Super Bowl. I didn't feel like we made it. I have the record for catches in a season by tight end. I didn't feel like I made it. I feel like if I've ever lost that chip, I feel like I should have retired at that point or left or done something else with my job status. Because I feel like I have a lot to prove in this league. I still feel like I can improve as a player. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that the DMV is getting my best this year. And it's something I'm extremely excited about.
All right, Zach Ertz, a man who has had a good bit of success against Washington over the years. 17 career regular season games against Washington. So the equivalent of an entire regular season, 93 receptions for 888 yards and 3 touchdowns on 130 targets. Well, time moves quickly in the NBA. Did you see who announced his retirement the other day? Otto Porter Jr. Yeah. He on Monday evening announced his retirement from the NBA. Otto is only 30, but his career went downward in recent years. Although he was on the Golden State Warriors team that won the 2022 NBA title. But we, of course, know Otto best for his work in D.C. He was a terrific player for Georgetown for two seasons, 2011-2012 and 2012-2013. He then was taken by the Wizards with the number 3 overall pick in the 2013 NBA draft. He was a good player for the Wizards, but they, in July 2017, matched a max contract offer sheet that he signed with the Brooklyn Nets as a restricted free agent, and things were never quite the same with Otto after that. The Wizards, on February 6, 2019, less than 2 years after giving Otto the max contract, traded Otto to the Chicago Bulls for Bobby Portis, Jabari Parker, and a 2023 second round pick. And now, 4 years later, Otto has retired. Yes, time moves quickly in the NBA. And unfortunately, the Wizards' regular season best tying 2-game winning streak ended quickly. A 109-97 loss at the Memphis Grizzlies on Tuesday night. The Wizards for this NBA regular season now are 11-54. That is the worst record in the NBA. The Wizards in facing a Grizzlies team that is the third worst team in the Western Conference and that has been ravaged by injury never held a lead. The Wizards trailed by 25 points at the half and trailed by at least 6 points for all of the second half. So the Wizards did make a bit of a run, but never held a lead in the game. The Wizards did remain without multiple key players. Marvin Bagley III did not play for a fourth consecutive game due to what the team is calling a lower back spasm. Rashawn Holmes did not play for a second consecutive game due to a sprained left big toe. And Landry Shamet did not play due to a left calf strain. But again, the Grizzlies have been ravaged by injury, and yet the Wizards on Tuesday night got ripped by the Grizzlies. The Wizards actually held the Grizzlies to just 8 of 33 on threes, but also allowed the Grizzlies to score 66 points in the paint and go 33 of 53 in the paint. Yeah, the lack of size hurt our Wizards. Their top two centers did not play, Marvin Bagley III and Rashawn Holmes. And how about this? Given that lack of size, the Wizards got out-rebounded by the Grizzlies 53-28, including, you ready for this, having just 4 offensive rebounds to the Grizzlies' 17, and thus just 2 second chance points to the Grizzlies' 23. The Grizzlies in this game had more than 4 times the offensive rebounds that the Wizards had, 17-4. A bright spot for the Wizards was Corey Kispert. He, in 35 minutes, 52 seconds as a starter, went 5 of 7 on threes, 3 of 4 on twos, and 1 of 2 on free throws. He finished with 22 points and 2 rebounds. But Kispert went 5 of 7 on threes. The rest of the Wizards went just 6 of 29 on threes. Next up for the Wizards at the Houston Rockets, Thursday night at 8. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, thealgaldipodcast@yahoo.com. Thursday's show, episode 783, will provide you with more on the Commanders as Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern marks the start of the NFL's new league year. Also on Thursday's show, I'll talk Capitals and conference tournaments in college basketball. The camps are at the Edmonton Oilers Wednesday night at 10. The 2024 Big Ten tournament starts on Wednesday, is happening at the Target Center in Minneapolis. Maryland, as the number 12 seed, faces number 13 seeded Rutgers Wednesday evening at at 6:30. The 2024 Big East tournament starts on Wednesday. It's happening at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Georgetown, as the number 10 seed, meets number 7 seeded Providence Wednesday evening around 6:30. And the 2024 ACC tournament continues on Wednesday. It's happening at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. Virginia Tech, as the number 8 seed, takes on number 9 seeded Florida State Wednesday at noon. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Position flexed.